Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Good evening, everybody. We're glad you're with us, and it's good to see people checking in. And we're just going to take a minute. We turned on a little earlier so we could see all the people watching. We see Steve. Hey, Steve. Kathy, good to see you.
Alice.
Check in with us. Hey, Joey. Good to see you. Alice. Yay.
George.
All right. And Lana Pittman, good to see you. Good evening. And others of you, everybody type in, say hello. Tell us something good that's going on in your life. We're going to start in just a couple of minutes. Hi, Connie Culver. Good to see you. Amen. His peace to all. Amen. All right. Good. Hey, Nancy. Good to see you. Glad you're with us. So different to have church this way, isn't it? I mean, we never dreamed this would be like this, but it is what it is, and we're learning two new techniques and so forth right now, so that's what we do. Pam, you want to say hello to everybody here? And good evening.
Good evening, everybody. We're glad to be with you again. Mm-hmm. It is odd doing it this way, I'll have to say, but I'm thankful that we can do it and we can be together anyway.
Yep.
So, hey, and seeing your comments on here, everybody, is wonderful. Yep. So we appreciate that. I'm sure you'll be blessed this evening from a word from the Lord. And also the song from Yvette.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we're just blessed to see all of you. Whenever I see you check in, I know that Wednesday night can be busy during your week. I see Carolyn and Bob and so many others that I didn't get a chance to say good evening to already. And Vicki Prosha, good to see you. Wow.
We miss you.
Oh, we miss you, Vicki. Good to see you. Hey, Cindy Wolf, good to see you. Wonderful. Wonderful. We're really glad. It's a joy. It encourages our hearts when we get together on Wednesday night on purpose. You know, this is intentional. So you making that effort to do that when I'm sure there's plenty of other things you could be doing, but you're really making that intentional effort, and we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. The Lord does as well. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer together. I'd like you to pray with me, would you? Let's just pray together. Father, we just are thankful that we can come into your presence through this mysterious faith vehicle called prayer, that we can pray. We can pray with our minds. We can pray in other tongues. We can pray audibly. And Lord, you understand us. And before we even say a word, you already know it. But yet you tell us to pray. We thank you for the opportunity to pray. Lord, we pray for everyone watching tonight. There's a reason. Since you've ordained our steps, there's a reason they're watching tonight. There's something you have for them. We pray right now against all distractions. And we bind the devil and we command the devil, take your distractions, your fiery darts of distractions elsewhere. Tonight, your people, God's people, will hear the word that the Lord is speaking out of heaven into our hearts. And we thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, let's enjoy a song of worship by Yvette, who does such an incredible job. We're so blessed to have her. Let's enjoy this worship song and sing with her. Let's worship together, okay?
Till I lay my head
Oh, I will say of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, and in darkest nights you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah! And all my life you have been faithful. Whoa! All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendering. Of the goodness of God.
That was beautiful, Yvette.
Yes, it was. And we thank you, Yvette, for taking the time to do that. I know you're a busy lady, a mom and a wife, and got a full-time job, and yet you take the time to do that. Thank you. So when next time you see Yvette, everyone, would you just give her thanks and appreciation, encouragement for what you're doing?
I do have to tell you one thing, Yvette. Kaylee looks exactly like you when you do certain expressions. When you were singing, I'm like, oh my goodness, that looks exactly like Kaylee. So I just have to tell you, she looks just like you.
Yeah, I think Kaylee's definitely going to be a worshiper one day, just like you. That's Yvette's daughter. Hey, when I was thinking of that song, and I was thinking so many of you, the ones that I saw your names here, you're watching tonight, I don't know all of your testimonies, but most of you, when I was thinking of you, I know bits and pieces of a lot of your testimony, and I know you can say yourself that God has been faithful to you. I mean, you can look back over your life through the darkest times and the difficult times and look back and go, wow, God has been faithful. And I could just, I don't want to give away maybe so private good. Information, but I just thought of so many testimonies of all of you that I was hearing, remembering. Some of you, I remember saying that you lived in a trailer without any furniture and you didn't have any money. And then over the years, God turned around and he blessed you in ways that just blow your mind today. And you know, it's just the goodness of God. And so we need to focus on that, especially in uncertain times and with difficulty going on all around us. And everybody has something going on, and that's just part of life while we're here on this earth. I want to talk to you tonight. This is heavy on my heart to talk to you about this, the subject of prayer. I've been talking about prayer for some time on Wednesday nights, and I feel like it's vital to... I know you know about prayer, and I know you pray, but I think that we are being called into a time that we must strengthen our prayer lives greater than ever before. You know, the COVID thing may be kind of slowly transitioning down, and that's anticipated. And then the riots were unanticipated, and those are things going on throughout our country right now. But we know there's going to be more and more things coming that are going to try to disturb us and upset us
and distract us.
And I think that God is really wanting his church, which he calls, by the way, a house of prayer, to be a house of prayer. And it doesn't mean necessarily having a prayer meeting. The house of prayer is you. Your body is the temple of God, and you become a house of prayer, that prayer becomes something that is your trademark. You're known by people who know you as a person who prays, a person who spends a lot of time in prayer. When you think about Jesus, his disciples were amazed that he spent so much time in prayer. So many scriptures says he got up early in the morning, long before daybreak, and he went off alone to pray. Mm-hmm. And then his disciples would follow him, and they said to him, teach us how to do what you're doing. We need to learn how to pray. And as I said in the previous couple of weeks, everybody needs to have a time, a designated time and a place to pray. And it's important to have a place, important to have an appointment with God. In fact, David said in the Psalms, seven times a day will I praise you. Now, why did he say seven times a day? I've been dwelling on that throughout this day. And I think it was, if you look at David's life, he had a lot of issues. He had a lot of troubles. A lot of dysfunction in his family and just a lot of issues personally and in the kingdom and so forth. And David said on one occasion, seven times a day I will praise the Lord. In other words, there was a time in his life when he was going through something, when he wrote that, when he was inspired by God, that I need to take a time to praise God seven times a day. I haven't sat down and done the math about how often that would be, but it would be quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But it's like this, when a doctor gives you a prescription and he says, now you take one of these pills one time a day. Well, okay, that's easy. Or if it's more serious, he'll say, you take it three times a day. But if you really have something going on in your life that's pretty chronic and more serious, he'll say, take this prescription seven times a day. I don't know what drug you take seven times a day. But it would be something pretty big if you had to take something seven times a day. It'd be a serious issue. And I think David, when he said seven times a day, I'll take a praise break and I'll praise God, there was something serious going on in his life that he would interrupt his normal routine and he would take time to go visit God and praise God and refocus his mind off the problem and onto God seven times a day because he needed that. He needed that. But I'm talking to you about the subject of prayer, and praise is a part of prayer. And I want to revisit a little bit what I talked to you about a couple of weeks ago. In the book of 1 Samuel, talks about a woman named Hannah and how she went to the temple during a time when other people were enjoying a festival. They would come to this place where the Shiloh, the place where Eli the priest was, and they were having all the people were having a festival, and it was just that time of thing that they did. But Hannah, her heart was burdened. So while everyone else was partying and having a festival, they were eating and drinking, her heart was heavily burdened. And she couldn't do that. She chose instead to go into the temple and pour out her heart to God. And the Bible says it this way. Look at this particular scripture in 1 Samuel 10. It says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much, and she prayed to the Lord. Mm. You may remember, she was praying because she was barren. She was married to a man who had two wives, and she was wife number two. And the first wife had bore many children. Mm-hmm. And having children is a sign of fruitfulness and in their life. And yet Hannah wanted to be fruitful. She wanted to have a child or children, and she didn't. She couldn't. She was barren. And her life was barren, and she wept bitterly. It says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept, and she prayed to the Lord. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. She prayed to the Lord. She's heavily burdened about something. And she can't party when everybody else is partying. Have you ever been in a place where everybody's having a great time, and your heart is so heavy about something, you just can't celebrate like everybody else is celebrating? You need to find a place to go unburden yourself. You need to find a place where you can talk to God. You have no desire to be around people that are partying. You've just got to get alone with God, and you got to talk to God about this burden that you carry inside you. Well, this is the way she's feeling. And so she goes to the temple to pray, to unburden herself. And when she's praying, Eli the priest watches her, and she's moving her lips, but she's not saying anything. And Eli thinks she's drunk, and he accuses her of drinking. Can you imagine that? So she's totally misunderstood by the priest or the pastor. And she says to him, I'm not drinking, I promise you, I'm taking my burden to the Lord. Do you know how to do that? There's a scripture that I love in Psalm 55, verse 22, and I'll show it to you here. It says, cast your burdens on the Lord. And that word cast means literally to throw it off of you. Take what is on you and fling it off of you. Cast your burdens on the Lord. And notice the promise here. Always look for the promise in the scripture. The promise is, if you do this way, do this God's way, God says he will sustain you. He will support you. He will re-strengthen you. And then underneath that, you see one of my favorite scriptures that I use probably about every day, and that's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And God tells us as his children, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be fearful. Don't be worried about anything. Be anxious for nothing. Mm. How? But in everything by prayer.
Yes.
Our words to God, our thoughts to God by prayer and supplication, which is taking the words of God, his promises, and talking to God back to it. So when you petition God, when you make supplications, you're praying the word. You can take this scripture, for example, Philippians 4, and you can pray it. You can break it down and personalize it and say, Lord, you tell me not to be anxious about anything. So I come to you with this promise of your word that I am to pray about everything. And if I do, the promise attached to your word is the peace of God. Mm-hmm. Not just peace, but God's very own peace will guard your heart and your mind. And that's important. I want you to see that.
As Pastor was talking about the casting your burden on the Lord, and I know some of you have heard me say this, but when the Bible talks about casting, like we think, you know, just gently casting it aside, it means fling it off of you.
Violently.
it's a like a violent thing. It's not just a gentle cast it aside. No, it is a flinging off of you because you're never planning on taking it back. Mm. Now that makes it a whole different scenario when you think about casting your burden on the Lord, or casting your anxieties on the Lord, whatever it is. That makes it a different thing when you think you're having to fling it off of you, and meaning you're not planning on taking the thing back. Mm. Now, wow. I mean, I have been so guilty of taking it back and taking it back and taking it back.
Who was the blind man that Jesus healed, right? That when Jesus called him,
yeah,
he got up and he flung off the garment that he had, which was some sort of garment that a blind person would wear.
It was a beggar's robe. And because he had to beg, I mean, that was his only way of being able to get anything to support himself. And when Jesus called him to himself, he cast it off, but he violently cast it off. He flung it because he never expected to have to put on that beggar's robe again because he knew he was going to be able to see. Mm. So when we cast our burden on the Lord, let's just support one another in this, that when we do that,
we're not taking
agree
it back. Mm-hmm.
That we are not going to take this thing back. And when the enemy try, and you know how he is, he circles back around to tell you, oh goodness, you might need to start thinking about this. This is really bad. I mean, no. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. You remember that you cast it off. You're not picking it back up again. You're not going to pick it up because you cast it on the Lord. And he is well able to take care of it when we are not.
Amen. So. Amen. And it's the same also would be in the New Testament, a different word in the Greek. It's the same idea in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So when you think of casting, remember, it is a violent throwing off of you. It's warfare. It's like if you've ever gone fly fishing, you have to take that fly rod and you have to fling that line in the air until you make it to a whip, and then you finally release it. And it has to be sharp and it has to be hard with some force. And so this idea of casting, again, you need to see this in the scripture in Psalm 55, is that idea. You got to violently cast your burdens. It isn't just praying a prayer. Prayer is wonderful, but you can pray but not be casting your burdens on the Lord. And God says if you do this the right way, he will sustain you. So he does expect you to get in the fight. But the promise in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that I want you to see, that's highlighted in red, with the peace of God, God's very own peace, if you do this right, if you pray properly, it will guard your what? Your heart and your mind. Now, I don't know about you, but I need my heart, which is where my thinking and so forth, my mind, my heart and my mind, my passions, my emotions. I need those things guarded because the enemy was going to do everything he can to try to wear you down in your mind. One of the things that the Antichrist spirit is going to do in the last days, he's going to have warfare against the saints. And his purpose is to wear down the saints. What is that? With all the emotional problems, with all the emotional burdens, and all the heaviness, and all the things coming at you. The enemy's trying to wear down the saints. Because when you're worn down, you're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. When you're worn down, you don't think clearly. When you're worn down, you react out of the flesh rather than responding in the spirit. So it's important that we learn how to do this God's way. God says he'll guard, he will guard, his peace will guard your heart and your mind if you pray through prayer. Now back to Hannah for a moment. Through prayer, I want you to notice in chapter 1, verse 10, it says, Hannah prayed in bitterness of soul and much weeping, she prayed to the Lord. But then at the end of her prayer, look what happened here. We see a total change. It says in verse 18, after she prayed, it's the only thing she did, her face was no longer downcast. So the manifestation that she prayed properly was her billboard changed.
That's very good.
Okay. Our billboard will change.
Yes.
The problem hasn't changed that we can see. There's nothing's different. It's still there. But our billboard changed.
Because our faith changed.
Because our faith changed.
Yes.
And our focus changed.
Yes.
See. And so that was the only thing.
We got to the point where our faith was stronger in who Jesus is than in what is going on in our life. So that when we have a change in our faith, people can see it.
Oh,
people
yeah.
can see it in our countenance, which is very important. When you walk around and you have a long face on and you look sad all the time or downcast all the time, it's just a bad testimony to Jesus and who he is in your life and what he's done for you. He's done so much. I mean, whether he does another thing ever, he's already done so much in our life that we can have a joyful countenance.
We owe it.
And we do. We owe it to Jesus to walk around
and
with a
people.
Joyful countenance.
Yeah.
And to others so that they can say, what is it about you that makes you seem happy and smiling? And then you have opportunity to share Jesus with someone. So what a great way to do that.
And you do that much better than I do. I don't pay attention to my countenance enough, but you have a very good countenance and always have a pleasant smile for people, and I appreciate that. And I can be frowning and not even realize I'm frowning sometimes, so I have to remind myself that to not do that, because I am a debtor to everybody. I owe everyone a smile.
Amen.
A ministry smile.
Yes.
Where I may not feel it on the end, but I owe people a ministry smile because of Jesus in me. And I owe that to everybody. Now, let me get back to this thing. The only thing that changed Hannah was prayer. That was the only thing we noticed in those 10 verses. Nothing else happened. Why is this story in the Bible? Because pain is real. We humans do suffer. Good people suffer.
Yes.
And pain is real. And everybody's pain is real to them. Okay, we don't ignore pain. So, but when pain comes into your life, trouble comes, heartbreak comes in your life, disappointment comes in your life, you have one of two responses. One, you can become pitiful, have a pity party. And let me tell you, you're wasting your time. I've had plenty of pity parties. I've invited a lot of people. Most people don't even come. And it's a waste of time.
I don't even want to be at the party.
No, I try to invite Pam, come to my pity party. She won't even come.
No, I don't even want to be there.
She refuses, and I'm glad she does. But we've had our pity parties, and we've had our down times, and no doubt about that. We all have pain. But you have two choices. One, you can be pitiful, or the other one is you can become prayerful. And I think that's pain has a purpose in our life. God allows it. He could stop it, but he allows it. If he allows it, he wants to take us deeper into him in ways we haven't gone.
Mm.
Why is this story in the Bible? Why is 1 Samuel, why is this lady so important for us to read about thousands of years later? Because she learned. In just 8 verses, she learned how to pour our heart out to God. She was in bitterness of soul, weeping, and she prayed to God. It's the only thing she did. And the next few verses later, her face was no longer downcast.
Mm-hmm.
God's trying to show us the purpose and the power of a prayer, how it can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
She learned somehow to do Psalm 55, how to cast her burden, how to fling this burden off of her so it wouldn't choke the life out of her. She learned how to fling it off.
Mm-hmm.
She learned how to trust in God. That God's going to take care of this.
Amen.
And not give it any more thought.
That's right.
I wish I could say I was that strong in that. I'm not there.
At times.
Well, at times, but I wished I would be like that all the time. Are there people you know, I'm sure there are, you have people in your life that if they tell you they're going to do something, you consider it done. You don't give it another thought. You don't have to. If they say they're going to go do this for you or do that for you or mow the grass or do take care of that, I know they're going to do it, and I get it off of my mind. I don't even have to think about it again. And I'm sure you have people like that in your life. And this is the attitude that Hannah had with God. I've talked to God about this. I've come to God about this. I've cast my burden on the Lord. I've poured out my heart about this. I know God has heard me. I know He's good for this. Now, I am not going to carry this on my mind any further.
No, I no longer have to. You cast it off.
Wow.
Fling it off.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I still need help with this, God. Mm-hmm. Help me. Anybody else out there, raise your hand. I can see you. Not really, but you have to see, this was her attitude. She had prayed, and then she stopped worrying. Her whole countenance changed.
Yes,
that's the evidence that she really prayed. She prayed, and so let me ask you something.
And that she left it at Jesus' feet.
She did.
She left it there. She did not pick it back up, because she would have walked out with the same long countenance otherwise.
I'm talking to myself and talking to you here tonight and talking to all of us, but have you ever worried about something and been burdened down about it? It becomes a weight in your life. Then this message is for you, so you need to pay close attention. I got some other things I need to tell you. If you haven't prayed about this thing that's been weighing on your mind, then do it. Pray.
Amen.
I mean, get off after this video, get off and just talk to God about it and get it off your mind. Cast it off of you.
Mm-hmm.
Pray. Okay, you say, well, I have prayed about it. I prayed and prayed and prayed about it. Okay, if you have prayed and prayed and prayed and you're still worried, your mind goes back to worry mode. And then here's the next step. The next step is, okay, God, I'm prayed about this, but I'm still worried about it. I'm still burdened by it. Then ask God this. God, is there one thing that you want me to do
mm-hmm.
about this?
That's good. That's right.
And wait. Be still. Mm-hmm. He will speak to your mind, your spirit, your heart. He'll tell you something. If He doesn't tell you anything, then relax. And then just keep casting it off of you. But God will tell you, is there something I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
And rest and leave the details with Him. Amen. And then, if you find yourself worrying again about something like I have, say it out loud. Pray out loud to God and say, I am not going to worry about this anymore. I've already talked to God about it. I've done everything He's told me to do. I am not going to worry about this any longer. You may have to say that out loud. And God has promised in His word He'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, He said, if you pray properly about it, He said He'll guard your heart and your mind with His peace. Wow. So if He's guarding it, it means something's trying to get in to your mind. Something's trying to get in to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are in the time of the earth when all kinds of strange things are happening and greater stranger things are going to happen in the days ahead, even this year, I believe. And you and I have got to move into the maturity of prayer so we can enjoy the benefits
Amen. Of
supernatural peace that God promises will guard our hearts and our minds. We've got to move into that maturity. Of Philippians 4:7, there's a promise there. And if you're not enjoying the benefit of it, you're missing out on what God intends for you to have. So we all have some pain in our life. We all have some trouble. We all have some things that we need to talk to God about. We all have some burdens we need to cast on to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And pain, God allows pain to come into our life. And someone said pain will either be a stepping stone or it'll be your tombstone. And you get to decide. How are you going to handle this?
Don't let it be your tombstone.
There's no need for it to be your tombstone, especially if you're a child of God.
Yes.
We're all like sheep, the Bible says, and I shared with you about Sunday morning how we need a shepherd. But sheep, we're like sheep. Sheep are not burden-bearing animals.
Mm.
You never see sheep carrying things that camels carry or donkeys carry.
No.
They're not made for that. You or I are not made to carry heavy burdens.
Mm-hmm.
It'll kill you.
Yes.
It'll take your life. It'll take your health. And so God gives us the gift called prayer, a mysterious thing called prayer. He gives it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And He says, I want you to learn how to use this tool. It's a lifelong process. And I want you to learn how to pray certain prayers so that the burdens that are going to come will not crush the life out of you. You're going to learn to turn things over to God that are out of your control. And prayer is designed to be a release of the heaviness, a release of the maybe tears. You know, you can cry. The reason you cry is actually a release God made you, so your eyes leak, so your head won't blow up. You know, your eyes are supposed to leak.
It is healthy. To let that go.
Yeah, and it is.
It's a cleansing, really.
It's a cleansing. You're exactly right. I couldn't cry for the longest time when I was a child, a teenager, over most things. Even when my father died, I couldn't cry. And I wanted to, but I couldn't. I don't know why. Probably some trauma in my life or something. And I would stuff things down inside. And really, I didn't really start to cry very good until I came to Grace Tabernacle. So thank you, Grace Tabernacle.
When you had a little kid.
I was talking about, I learned to release tears. I think it was probably freedom. It was probably a level of freedom. I don't understand
that
it all.
Sure.
Now I cry watching a Lifetime movie. I feel so stupid when
Hallmark
I cry.
Movie.
Hallmark movie or whatever. But I cry at the drop of a hat now. But the tears are a way of release. And prayers is the same way. Prayers is to be able to release heaviness and stress and all those things that will cause disease in your life if you don't release them. And so prayer is somehow, it changes our fears. Mm. It changes us from fretting into faith. It changes us somehow. I don't understand it all, but God says that's what we're to be. We're to be this house of prayer. Mm. So in the past, maybe you have had a crisis come in your life, and boy, you double down on prayer. You get serious about prayer when there's a crisis that takes place in your life, and you should, by all means. But many times after the crisis lifts, so does the strength of your prayer life. It's just not as necessary anymore. It's just not a priority anymore as it used to be. And with what's happening in our world right now, and what is about to happen the remainder of this year, with all the turmoil, we're seeing how fragile our world is.
Wow.
Our world is very, very fragile. And God is he's allowing these events around us to happen so that you and I, as the house of prayer, become a house of prayer. That we really know how to pray and get results. Not just getting our answers, but getting the strength internally so that when pressures come, it doesn't crush the life out of us.
Amen.
And so God is giving us this gift of prayer. We've got to utilize that. So with everything's happening in our world right now, we recognize that God is calling us to deeper prayer. But let me ask you a question. Now think about this. Why is it so hard to pray?
Like your mind goes 100 miles an hour. You'll start praying and then you think of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
you'll start praying again and then you think of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just like a constant barrage of thoughts. Whereas during the day, normally you don't have those thoughts, you know, all the things that, you know, you need to think about. But all of a sudden, bam, you start to pray and there it is.
mm-hmm. Well, you know, we have an enemy. Obviously, we have an enemy that opposes prayer, and prayer is the thing he's got to try to shut down. So it's always going to be some difficulty. There's no such thing, it's been said many times, no such thing as progress without spiritual opposition.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have opposition. So
it's
here. And it's here to stay as long as you're on the earth. But let me ask you another question about that. I've noticed the more I pray, the more fatigued I get. The more I pray. And lately, especially, it seems like I'm praying, and I'm getting very tired. And I often wonder, why is that so, God? I mean, I should be getting stronger spiritually. Why do I feel spiritually, emotionally more drained? And I had a preacher one time share something that I didn't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's because you are pushing against the enemy. When you're praying, you're feeling the opposition is coming against you more than when you're not praying. And so it is warfare, and it is fatiguing, and it is be tiring.
Yeah.
And so you're having pressure come against you when you pray, because the enemy has got to stop you, and you're in opposition against the enemy. So you're pushing, and you're pushing, and you're engaging. And the enemy is also pushing against you as well. Most of our praying is to be done in secret. Most of it. You need to have a secret place. You need to have a private place. You go in and you shut the door. You talk to God. You pour your heart out. Hannah prayed privately. Most of our prayers are done privately. But it's also important to gather together and pray with others corporately. There's the time and place for both, but your most important prayers are your private prayers. But there are times where we need to gather together and pray. And right now, with all the things going on in our country, these riots going on in the world, I'm glad I can say on Monday mornings, Johnny and Tri and Joan and were having prayer in the prayer room, and they meet every Monday morning. So if you'd like to come in and join people who pray, intercessors, come in and join with them on Monday mornings. They're intercessors praying for our country, praying for our nation, however the Lord may lead you. But there's a time to play privately, but also corporately. Some things are meant for corporate prayers, meaning there are some things I've got to include other people to come in and pray with me because it's too big for me.
Yes.
I mean, we're dealing with principalities. We're dealing with things that are much bigger than us. One prayer is powerful. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. So there's power in unity, and there's something that happens when at least more people come together and pray. Mm-hmm. There are sometimes there are burdens that each of us carry that we're to bring to God and cast that burden on the Lord. And the Bible tells us each one should bear his own burden. But there's also burdens, the Bible says, that we are to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, the church is the body of Christ that's supposed to come together when there's a burden that's too big for one individual. They're getting crushed underneath the heaviness of it, that they're to come to the body and say, I need you to pray with me about this. I can't do this. I'm not meant to carry this. Mm. I've got to have help in prayer. Mm. And we need to pray for one another. And I don't mean just bless so-and-so and bless so-and-so.
No. Pray.
We need your prayers.
Yes.
I want to share something with you that is very personal. But I believe God released me to ask you to pray with us, because it's a burden that's too great for Pam and I to carry. And at Tuesday morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, we got a phone call come down about a mile away from our house that our son, Andrew, was being arrested. And he got in trouble with drugs again. And so they called us down there. And so I went down there, and Andrew's in handcuffs, and it, you know, breaks your heart if you've ever been through something like that, to see your child like this. And we've been through this already many times, too many times. And so anyway, Andrew got arrested Tuesday night, so he's in jail. If you didn't know that, now you know. And I'm telling you this in hopes that you will take it to heart what Pam and I are asking you to do. Mm-hmm. We need your prayers. Mm-hmm. Not just for us. We're asking you to pray for our son, Andrew.
Yeah.
He's got a calling on his life. I don't know how and I don't know when, but we have so many promises from God in Scripture. God's spoken to our hearts about Andrew, that he is going to return from the land of the enemy to his own border. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, I don't know when, but we hang on to those promises. But right now, we feel that pressure of the enemy, and we pray, and we pray together. But there are sometimes burdens that you've got to ask the body of Christ, your family, your church family, a real family, pray with us. Help us in prayer about
this. Just like you just said, Joey, big battles. Well, this is a big one because it pulls on our heartstrings big time. Boys love their mamas. What can I say? they're usually mama boys, and he is. He loves his mama. He loves his daddy, but he loves his mama for sure.
Oh yeah.
And so it's really, really a hard thing when you hear them, talking. And because I know the heart of my son, I know I hear the real Andrew. When he talks to me, I hear the real Andrew. When his mind is clear and he's not on drugs, I hear his compassionate heart, his love for his family, stuff like that. And his love for God and his love for worship. So I hear all of that. And to see the enemy stealing that from him through drugs is very, very difficult. And I know some of you out there have been through the same thing. And so you can know that I understand for sure. I understand that. So if you'll just pray that God will give us strength, wisdom, and discernment. But more than that, for Andrew, that the right thing will be done. I don't ever want to make him escape or pull him out of consequences,
right?
Because that is wrong. That's how we all have to learn, probably most of the time, the consequences of our actions. But I don't want abuse of power either, or abuse in any way because of his past, like looking at his past and, oh, he's just this, so we'll just do this. So pray, if you will, for protection against any of that. And that the right thing will be done. That's all we're wanting.
Yeah. You know, people talk, and I know people will talk, and I hope not, but maybe some watching on this video will, they'll just talk and just can't wait to get on the phone and tell somebody else. And that happens because people are just flawed people. But that's not my hope. My hope is that people will pray. I hope you'll pray. That's why I share this tonight. I'm going to lead you in prayer, and I'm going to show you how at least we're praying, and maybe after I'm going to ask you to join us in prayer, and then maybe you'll take this to heart and begin to pray. Because, you know, the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child, and, well, it takes a church to raise a pastor and to raise up an evangelist. And I believe Andrew really is called to be an evangelist, and he was
and a worshiper.
And that's why we named him Andrew. God gave us that name for him. Andrew is the first witness, the New Testament witness in the Bible, brought his brother Peter, and Andrew is supposed to be an evangelist. So I believe you'll see the transformation of Andrew into Andrew Joseph, the man of God, as you join with us in prayer.
Yes.
And however long it may take, but you're part of what God wants to see happen now in the body of Christ. The body comes together, and we pray. We're not looking for pity.
No.
We don't want we don't want any of that.
No.
We want prayer.
Yes.
Prayer.
Yes.
Prayer.
That's the only thing that will accomplish anything.
Yeah.
Pity for us, it will not help at all. But prayer most certainly will help us and our son.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that we hope in.
So we're going to pray. We're going to pray right now and ask you to join us, okay? So let's just pray. And if you can pray out loud where you are, if you're comfortable with that, fine. If you're not, pray with your mind. Pray silently, however you want to do it. But I'm going to lead us, okay? Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
The God, the Lord of hosts.
You are.
You're the Lord of everything. You know everything that there is
you
to know.
The beginning and the
God,
end,
we
Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you, God.
You.
We thank you that before the foundations of the world, you knew us, and
Hallelujah.
You knew us by name, and
yes.
You knew our son Andrew Joseph, mm-hmm. and you knew Pam and I, and we knew that we'd be here in this time.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, you even caused us to come to you to be saved, and you knew you're causing us to pray right now, and you're causing people who are watching over the internet on a Wednesday night to pray. God, thank you for prayer.
Unity. Thank you,
thank
Lord.
You for just prayer and for unity. Lord, we
thank
come
you.
Together and we agree,
yes,
in the name of Jesus,
yes,
for Andrew to be absolutely delivered,
yes,
from drugs, drug addiction, and everything associated with anything the enemy's doing. We come against Satan and we bind you, Satan. We command you to take,
yes,
your hands and everything off of Andrew. We
and
declare Andrew free,
yes,
in the name and by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And Andrew will answer his calling and he will follow the Lord.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for your word that Andrew will return from the land of the enemy back to his own border,
yes,
and that we're not to grieve over that.
Yes.
We thank you for it.
And we claim that for any child that you have a concern for. We,
mm-hmm,
claim that same exact thing for whoever,
oh, yeah,
it is. I saw one on here, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, Anna. I agree,
mm-hmm,
in Jesus' name.
Oh, yeah.
Justin.
Yeah.
Gloriously saved, delivered from the enemy's pull, and serving God like he should be.
Amen.
And any other young person, old person, I mean middle-aged
person. Write their
name
in.
You put their name in, and
we'll
we
pray.
Will be praying.
Yes, put their name
so
in.
So know that.
And now we also pray, Lord, for Pam and I, and the parents and grandparents of those who have children or grandchildren that,
yes,
have gone astray or loved ones. Lord, we pray now that
thank
you will guard,
Lord,
their hearts and their minds.
Jesus, yes,
as they pray, God, they cast off the heaviness. They cast off the worry. They cast off the fear.
Yes.
And especially guard their hearts and minds so the enemy can't invade their sleep at night and invade their home and then cause fiery darts of fear and worry.
That's right.
And anxiety. We bind Satan from them.
Peace.
And Lord,
peace,
there'll be great peace, the peace of God.
That they will have deep, restful sleep without,
amen,
tormenting thoughts from,
amen,
the enemy.
Amen.
No fear, no worry. That you just fling that child. Fling that child on Jesus.
Mm.
Fling that child, mm, to him because he can take care of that child,
mm-hmm,
because we're not with them and we can't do a thing, but he can.
You got this, God. You got this. And Lord, as you changed Hannah's countenance, all because she prayed the right way,
yes,
change our countenance.
Hallelujah.
May people see the joy of the Lord,
yes,
and the peace of God radiating from our countenances,
yes,
and the countenances of those who are praying for their loved ones tonight. May the difference be the power of prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
That we are houses of prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Woo! Thank you so much. And thank you for those who are continuing to pray with us.
And I'm receiving names,
yep,
and I want you to know I'm writing
She's
them down
writing
right
them
now.
Down right
I
now.
Have my paper and my pen, and I'm writing the names down that you guys are putting on there for prayer.
Yep, she's doing that right now. That's right. Send those cards and letters in, children. Yeah. Well, God bless you. Thank you for, I don't think it was an accident you're here tonight of all time. And hearing us talk about the subject of prayer and sharing our hearts with you. Thank you for being a wonderful church family. Thank you for praying for us. We don't,
yeah,
tell you that enough. So many of you pray for us, even a mention of our name sometimes to God. And some of you tell me that you pray for us every single day.
Wow.
And I just say, there's no words I can say other than thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
It means more to us than $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. But we'll take $1 million, too.
Oh, you. Gary Washburn.
Well, God bless you. We love you. And God loves you. And we look forward to seeing you Sunday. Okay? So God bless you. We'll see you then.
Yeah.
God bless you. Good night.